Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. We're a church committed to praising God, preparing His people, and proclaiming the gospel. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. So whether you're commuting, exercising, or doing dishes, grab your Bible, lean in, and let God's Word speak into your life. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
So we're in a series called Family Matters, talking about the matters of family. Why? Because family matters. It's true, and it's often overlooked. Especially in culture today, very eye-centric, and family is not as central as it used to be. And but family is, as Jake just prayed, family matters to God. He built it. He has called us His family, and we have seen model in Scripture of what it looks like. And we've talked over the last couple weeks of you know, what a God-honoring marriage looks like, how that was God's design, and how it's a picture of His love for us. But then also we looked last week at raising kids, and, you know, we're not really raising kids, we're raising good adults, right? They are entrusted to us for a certain period of time that we might instill in them, however we choose, whatever philosophy or style that you use, whatever that might be, for your family, for your history, for your tradition, we base it all on the foundation of Scripture. That's how we raise them. And as we have to talk about family matters, it means that we also have to talk about the reality of family, which is sometimes family hurts. Families cause hurt. And so how do we handle that? How do we address that when the worst pains that we can feel in life at times are family hurts? You might already have something in your mind right now. Maybe you're walking through it at this very moment. But our conflicts, our sufferings, our hurts, when in regards to family, they are all real. And as we read about the stories in Scripture, we see throughout those pages that those real stories, those real families dealt with struggles as well, just like we do. And we see so many examples of brokenness and pain within the families of Scripture and the families here, that my hope today is that as we look at some of this truth from Scripture, that for you, you might truly understand the love and call that God has on your life in the midst of pain, even in the midst of pain. And that you might gain some tools that you might be able to use in our calling to become peacemakers. Right? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. This is who we are called to be. And I want you to take a moment and just think about your own family, right? Maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your siblings, your children, perhaps it's even your own spouse. And then be honest. You can think back to maybe the last conflict that you had, or maybe a conflict that you're currently going through. Maybe it was something that is far in the past. How was your response in that moment of conflict, in that moment of pain, in that moment of anger? When I think back to it, for my own life, it's often not wonderful, right? I didn't handle it the best way, because sometimes I lash out, right? Sometimes I speak with emotion, because I'm hurt, and so I feel like I have to defend myself. Sometimes I withdraw. I just hide away from the whole thing, walk out of the room. And then sometimes I just take it and I let it simmer like a pressure cooker, which is probably the most dangerous. Because when you take your emotions and you kind of push them down and you go, okay, I'm just not going to deal with that right now. It's not like a crock pot where everything just kind of gets right eventually by some type of magic. It is more like a pressure cooker that unfortunately has a release valve that is not a safety mechanism. It causes a lot of destruction and explosion. And then maybe after that unhealthy response, in your logical moments, as the emotions start to subside, you start to ask yourself questions like, why? Why would I ever treat someone I love like that? Or why would someone that loves me do something like that to me? How could they do that after all that I've done for them? What did I do wrong? What could I have done differently? These are all the questions that race around our mind in the midst of family conflict. It's the reality of life, the reality of family life. And families, they should be a place of security. They should be a place of love and peace and joy and acceptance. But in a sin-stained world, oftentimes they really become the battlefield where our hearts are tested and hurt the most. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to walk through how to navigate this family conflict with faith, with courage, and with wisdom. And we're going to look at how God can redeem even the deepest pains. I'm going to give you a few things that you can use in your life this week to walk through this pain. And we're going to start in the beginning, right? In Genesis chapter 37, a very well-known story. We've talked about it for a lot, or I have over the years. But it's the story of Joseph, right? If you know scripture, you know the story of Joseph. His life was anything but easy, right? He was a young man in a large family. And in those days, his father had multiple wives, and the wife that his father truly loved didn't have children for a long time, but he had a lot of other children with another wife. And then finally, Joseph was born to this wife that he really loved. And Joseph was his favorite. Now, if you're following along, you're thinking, ding, 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 red flags all over the place. And you're right. There was a lot of problems. Jacob's favoritism towards his son Joseph over his brothers created a jealousy. And then Joseph, he was given the ability to have these dreams and interpret these dreams that were directly from God that would prophesy the future. But in his immaturity and misunderstanding, he almost gloated to his brothers what was going to happen. And that created even more jealousy and anger. And in what we see is this incredible story of betrayal that was so severe that Joseph's very life was threatened. And yet, in the midst of it all, God is faithful. And he was present through all of it. And so, as we dive into this, I just want you to kind of place your situation in the midst of this story. As we look for God in the midst of what is terrible tragedy and decisions that are made. So Genesis chapter 37, verse 18, again, Joseph's not made any friends with his brothers. They really hate him because of the father has shown incredible favoritism, but also because Joseph has told him about these dreams. And so they've gone off to pasture. For some reason, Jacob tells Joseph to go find his brothers, see how they're doing. He knew he couldn't trust them fully, so he wanted to go check on him. So the younger brother, who again doesn't quite get everything that's happening in this moment, walks into what is a very difficult circumstance. And that's what we find in verse 18. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. "Here comes the dreamer," they said. "Come on, let's kill him and throw him to one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams." I think it's safe to say that his brothers were hurt, that his brothers were fed up with their life and the way that their father had treated Joseph above them. It had caused quite a tension, to say the least. And ultimately, these brothers would not kill Joseph outright. Instead, one of them stood up and said, no, you know what? Instead of killing him, that would be wrong. Let's just throw him into this dry well and leave him there. Somehow, that's better, right? I mean, I think ultimately, at the end of the day, they're both going to kill him. But, you know, instead of just killing him straight away, nature did it. I don't know. But then again, they think, we can't just do that. Let's make a little money out of this. And so then they sell him into slavery. We can look at this family and say, yeah, they had some serious issues. Their lack of communication of their feelings caused problems, to say the least. Maybe your family doesn't have that level of dysfunction. Maybe it does. Because there are probably people in this room right now, definitely watching online, that can say, well, my family has 100% of that level of dysfunction. You might have a very similar story of being outcast by your family, or maybe outcasting someone within your family because of a jealousy, because of some issue. But maybe it's not at that level. Most likely it's not at that level. But what is true about all of us in here is that family hurt is inevitable. Even in the best families, pain shows up, jealousy rears its ugly head, betrayal, miscommunication, neglect. It all happens to us because, again, we live in a sinful world. And God didn't promise us to be just free from pain and hurt. He promised his presence. He promised his redemption in the midst of our brokenness. And our attitude and our understanding of his presence in the middle of this conflict, that's what makes the difference. Paul said it best in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. He said, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation." And I know I've used this verse a lot, but I think it's worth repeating maybe even weekly, because we hit spots in our lives that are hard on a daily basis. And we need to understand this truth because it's hard in the moment. And we have to develop a longer term understanding of God's faithfulness. Because a lot of times we ask the questions, what kind of good can come from the hurt that we have in our lives right now? But scripture teaches us that hurt teaches us resilience. Hurt teaches us humility. And hurt gives God the opportunity to truly work in our hearts. And I think as parents, as grandparents, it's important for us to understand that. Right? Because there's a huge movement today to truly never allow our kids to feel any type of pain, to feel any type of consequences, suffering, to just give them whatever they want, to hover over them, to track them everywhere they go. That seems to be the norm. And if you're not doing that, you're almost looked down upon as irresponsible. But shielding them, and we see this and we know it's true, shielding them can produce too much entitlement. It produces irresponsibility and immaturity. A child who never faces disappointment, a child who never understands pain, grows up expecting constant comfort and is rattled whenever that doesn't come to them. And the reality of life is that growth often requires discomfort. God allows these challenges in our lives and creates these limits to cultivate our character, to make us responsible, and to strengthen our faith. Hebrews 12:11 shows us this. It says, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. This was a hard lesson for me because I want everybody to be happy. Okay, I think I've told this story before. Rainey and I started dating our senior year of high school, and I was involved in everything, and I was trying to be everything to all people. And at one point, in her wisdom, she said, you realize you can't make everybody happy. And I went, yeah, but I can try. And it wears you down, and it beats you up when you're trying to just avoid all of this conflict and overlook all of these other things, especially in our relationships and especially in our families. Growth is stunted when we try to run from the reality of these hurts. And so what I want to do today is I want to give you five things. I want to give you five things that can help you, that you can take and utilize in your own family starting today. And the first thing is this. Name your hurt. Speak honestly, starting with God. If something hurts you, if something is causing you pain, take it to the Father. Just, he can handle it. He knows it already, so go ahead and admit it. Admit your hurt, and then release it out loud. Sometimes, there's a reason why like people scream, and we need to let things out. And so, listen, God is a big God. He's a good God. Go off by yourself and just speak out loud to him the things that are hurting you. This can be a revolutionary step by just simply saying, this hurt me in front of the Father. And then go to the next, that person, and let them know. This is really difficult, right? If we have a hard enough time taking it to God, but then to take it to the person and let them know that they hurt you, that can become a problem, especially if it's a parent, especially if it's a child. But it's important. And what we want, really, is for the person that hurt us to make the first move. We want them to come to us and ask forgiveness. That's the way it should be. That's the fair way, but that's just not the way it always is. And remember, our job is not to be a peacekeeper, it's to be a peacemaker. And a peacemaker means we have to make the move. And then step two is in line with this. When we name our hurt, we need to brace for impact. When we reach out, when we admit the things that hurt us, it's risky because we don't get to determine how the other person is going to respond. And they might reject us, they might be angry, they might deny that anything ever happened. And we need to be ready for that, because when we are, we will be well on our way to the path of peace. Romans 12, verse 18 says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. This was Jesus's model. This is what Jesus showed us. In fact, in 1 Peter 2:23, Peter explains Jesus's way very, very well. He said, he did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Maybe you're good at taking an insult or not getting revenge if someone hurts you, but allowing God to be the judge solely, that's where we start to draw the line. Because what if God chooses to go another way? We start saying, well, that wouldn't be fair. But we're not the judge. Jesus himself trusted God in the midst of his mistreatment, which for us means we need to understand who we are in Christ, which will give us the strength to stand under the pressure of impact from others. When we know who we are in Christ, that our definition is not from someone else, it doesn't come from any other person, but from God alone, that he knows us, he sees us, he loves us, that he sent his son for us, then when the difficult words start to come at us, we can stand under it and know the truth of who we are. Which brings us to examining our heart. Who are we really? And also, what are we holding on to? Sometimes when we examine our heart, what we need to do is confess the bitterness that we hold, the pride that we have not laid down, and the unforgiveness that maybe we thought we had walked past. You might have someone in mind that comes up when we bring up those things, somebody that you want to forgive, you know you should forgive, but for some reason it just, it's hard to let go. And it's hard to truly offer that forgiveness to them. And what we often don't do, because we're too busy thinking about the other person and all of the offenses that they have put upon us, is we don't think of our own contributions to the hurt, our own responsibility in all of it. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit." We can't slip into this victim mindset that everything terrible always happens to me. What we need to do is examine our own responses and ask, how have I withheld grace from the person who has hurt me? Grace is that commitment in our heart to show kindness and to let them also be a work in progress like we are. And that starts by asking the Lord to give us a heart of generosity and of grace, and to pray for those who have caused us pain. It's hard to hold a grudge. It's hard to hold unforgiveness when you are genuinely praying for the person who has hurt you. Because the only person's heart that you actually control is yours. As much as we want to make other people feel a different way, we can't. We're only in charge of our heart. And so we have to make that determination. Which means, and this is where it really gets difficult, especially within families, it means sometimes we need to establish boundaries. We have to protect our heart without resentment. Right? Proverbs 4:23, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." If a family member is unrepentant, if a family member is causing you pain, unwilling to acknowledge that they've hurt you, or maybe even unwilling to, or unable to move forward in a productive way, it might be time and it might be wise for you to evaluate how much influence you are allowing them to have in your life. That's what a boundary is. And it's okay to set boundaries, even in families, to make it clear that certain behaviors aren't going to work in your relationship. But man, setting boundaries is hard. Because you're going to get pushback, you're going to get input from other people, especially don't miss this, especially when you are applying a new behavior to an old pattern. If you've not had a boundary up and you've allowed yourself to get pushed around or you've allowed yourself to be manipulated or hurt, and then you put up a new boundary, it's good, it's right, but the pushback is going to be strong. We are called to love and forgive, first and foremost. That is what we are called as Christ followers to do. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, then you know loving and forgiving and grace is at the top of who we should be. But we aren't called to keep inviting encounters in our lives that leave us in pain. And if you need help setting boundaries, because it is difficult, especially if you're trying to do it on your own, go to a friend. Ask them to come with you. Go to a ministry leader. Come to me. Come to one of our elders. Go to a Christian counselor. Those can be great places to start. There's also an incredible book called Boundaries, written by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. I would highly recommend that book to you if you struggle with setting boundaries in your own family. I've recommended that book to an unnumbered amount of people who struggle with saying no in their family, which has led them into unhealthiness and conflict and hurt. But get help. Don't try to do it all on your own, because it is difficult. But it is so important for you to move forward in that hurt. And the only way that you can truly move forward in that hurt is if you're in the last step is stand firm on the rock. Matthew 7, verse 24. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds his house on a rock, on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Our family dynamics are going to shift. Things are going to ebb and flow. But God wants us to place our weight on the solid ground of Jesus Christ and his teachings. Because all other ground, everything that seems natural, everything that seems, you know, any rules that we've made on our own understanding, all of that is sand and it's sinking. We have to decide where we are going to plant our feet. If you want healing with a family member, you'll understand this. And you'll build your house on the truth of Scripture. The truth of who God is. And then he will allow you to move past these hurts and see how even these very painful truths have allowed you to be in a better place with him for what he has planned for you further down the road, which was Joseph's story, right? Joseph was sold into slavery, and then he was lied on, and he was thrown in prison for many years. And then in the moment when he was promised to get out, he was forgotten about for two more years, until he was given an opportunity. And all of that time, Joseph remained faithful to God because he knew he had something in store for him. And he knew that he was faithful. And then later, when Joseph's in charge of the entire country of Egypt, he comes face to face with his brothers who are hungry, who are desperate, and are fit to be just punished in that moment for what they did. But that's not what Joseph chooses to do. Look with me in chapter 45, verse 5. Joseph says, "But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors." Joseph found a way to see things with God's understanding. And most people, unfortunately, don't ever get to this level of maturity. They never stop demanding their own way. In fact, they'd rather stay in conflict than truly be a peacemaker, because it's hard. But it is always so much more rewarding to resolve a conflict rather than dissolve a relationship, even if that means walking into the difficult conversations. And if you've ever walked into a difficult conversation, especially with a family, then you know, hopefully at this point, maybe you're in the midst of it, on the other side of it, there's greater strength and healing and a level of love that you didn't know before. That's what Joseph experienced. So what we need to do is pray. Pray for eyes that can see others through God's perspective, the way that he sees things. And know that love may not always restore relationships. It may not do it immediately, but it will restore your heart. And that's what God is concerned with. That's what Jesus did. Again, Romans 5, verse 8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve for Jesus to come to this earth, to be tortured, spit upon, crucified like a common criminal. But he did it because he loved us, because he needed to be a peacemaker so that we could find peace, so that we could find redemption, so that we could find restoration, so that we could find salvation from our sins. So why, if we know that, would we not do the same to the family that we love? Maybe you've never experienced that level of love, the level of love that Jesus offers you. Maybe you don't know him as Savior. And I would invite you to have a conversation. I would love to have a conversation with you. If you need to know Jesus as Savior, that's the starting point for understanding. All of those five steps are great. And listen, if you don't know Christ as Savior, you can try all of those five things, but you won't fully understand the healing that it can bring without first knowing him as Savior, knowing that he loved you first, that he made the first move. Even though he didn't need to. He was perfect. He was God. He is God. And we were a sorry, broken sinner. Yet he walked to us. God transforms our pain into purpose. He gives us solid ground. He gives us hope and the ability to love through hurt when we know him. And when we follow him. So here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to name a hurt. Name it. Proclaim it to God out loud. And watch how he frees you. He starts to free you from that burden that you've been carrying around. Maybe you've become so numb to that you don't even feel it anymore. So start with that. And then next is, look at your life. Look at your relationships. Is there a place where you need to set a healthy boundary this week? Most of us have them. Most of us have places in our lives where we need to say no, where we need to put up a boundary and say, this is all I can handle. This is all that I can give. And I'm going to have a conversation with somebody. And the third thing might be the hardest. If there's someone in your life that has hurt you, genuinely pray for them. Pray for their heart. Pray for their soul. Pray for blessings upon them. Pray that God would give them eyes to see the hurt that they have caused in you and in others. Pray that they would have a softened heart. But pray also for you, that you would have a softened heart, that you would see your role, you would see your responsibility in all of this conflict. This isn't easy. You could walk out of here today and say, that's great, but I'm okay. That's your choice. But that's not being a peacemaker. That's being a peacekeeper. And we're called to make peace. So let's do that. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for the challenge that you give us. The challenge in the midst of this world that is full of pain and suffering and hurt. God, you have shown us how to respond. You have shown us what love really looks like. When we rejected you, Father, you walked towards us. When we didn't know that we needed a Savior, you went to the cross. And you offered forgiveness before we deserved it, before we did anything to move back towards you. You offered us that gift. May we be the same to those in our lives who have hurt us. For those in our lives that have not sought forgiveness, those that have rejected us, God, may we love them. Lord, I pray for the hurts in this room, the family conflicts that are ongoing. Lord, soften our hearts. Give us eyes of peace and grace. And give us the courage to make the first move, to be a peacemaker. Because that's what you've called us to do. We give you glory for it all in Jesus' name.